This is Jay Sekulow. To Mr. Comey, electronic surveillance of a presidential campaign is spying.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I really don't know what he's talking about when he talks about spying on the campaign. It's concerning because the FBI and the Department of Justice conduct court-ordered electronic surveillance.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I have never thought of that as spying. And the reason I'm interested to know what he means by that is if the Attorney General has come to the belief that that should be called spying, wow.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Okay. So, James Comey says electronic surveillance is not spying. So if you have electronic surveillance on a presidential campaign, that's not spying. It's surveillance. So, by the way, I'm going to go to basic definitions here. And this is an attempt. Let me tell you what this is. This is an attempt to reset what is about to become a big problem for what I believe for people like James Comey and others that may well have been engaged in activities that were dangerous here and unprecedented. So we start with what is spying. So I will start with, let's go to definitions. So Andy or Harry, who wants to start with the first definition of spying?
The Oxford English Dictionary defines spying as to collect information about something to use in deciding how to act or to observe furtively. This is precisely what happened to the Trump campaign.
So that's one definition. There is also the Black Law Dictionary definition. Do you have that one, Andy?
No, but I've looked at the Black's Law definition, and what it says is to use secret surveillance when someone is not aware of what is going on in an illicit manner. In other words, to do exactly what we as just Americans connote, using spying to find out what's going on in the other camp. And that's what happened in this case.
Black's Law, espionage or spying has reference to the crime of gathering, transmitting, or losing information respecting national defense with the intent or reason to believe that the information is to be used to the injury of the United States or to the advantage of any foreign nation. That's the legal definitions.
Yeah, I mean, it's a broad definition. And to turn that around, that was against the United States.
Right.
If it's the United States doing it, it would be to the injury of a U.S. citizen or a U.S. interest. And one of our interests in the United States is our constitutional rights and the protections around that. And I think a lot of us know that we were talking about yesterday with Julian Assange, a decade later almost.
Yep.
We see technology differently. We see email differently. Email is not as private as it once was, and we don't see it. I don't think it's that private. But then you get to your text messages. Are those private now or not really? And what is the kind of next steps? Because I think that we're usually, what we know as Americans is usually five steps behind where the actual technology is. And so what we think, okay, this would be secure, but this is more secure. And it's really, I mean, it's really not. But we continue to put all these devices. We have smart TVs. Everything is smart. What does that mean?
They're listening to everything you're saying. That's what it means. Okay.
I think that the best example of that is if you think this is conspiratorial sounding, how does your phone know when you're specifically asking to talk to Siri? It has to listen to you all the time.
Or else it wouldn't know what to activate.
Or know the prompt.
And then they just came out today and said that Alexa is listening to you all the time.
Yeah. And so, you're voluntarily putting those devices. That's how they get around it. They're saying, you decided to put this in your home. The difference between this and spying is that this is not you deciding to put this in your home. This is the government tapping into that,
But here's what James Comey's saying. He says, I have no idea what he's talking about. This is talking about General Barr. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to play for you exactly what Attorney General Barr said. And he said, when I hear that kind of language used, it's concerning because the FBI and the Department of Justice conduct court-ordered electronic surveillance, he continued. I've never thought of that as spying. That gets into a whole host of questions. Whether the FISA warrants were legitimate or not legitimate. But to say it's not spying, well, guess what? That's not right. Taking your calls, your reaction to this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Remember, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
Hey, At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So, James Comey, let's play what Attorney General Barr said. I think that's, let's set this up. This is what General Barr said testifying before Congress just a couple days ago.
One of the things I want to do is pull together all the information from the various investigations that have gone on, including on the Hill and in the department, and see if there are any remaining questions to be addressed.
And can you share with us why you feel a need to do that?
Well, for the same reason we're worried about foreign influence in elections, we want to make sure that during an election, I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. It's a big deal.
So he said. So he's getting criticized for saying spying on a political campaign is a big deal. But Andy, as you just said during the break, I think we need to reiterate it here. It is a big deal.
It's a very big deal. Look, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was enacted by Congress specifically using language of art, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, okay? The purpose of that is to go to a court appointed by the Chief Justice to show your probable cause, to show all the necessary evidence, and to obtain a warrant for counterintelligence on foreign sources, Jay, not spying domestically. That's not how you do it. The gathering information, spying, call it what you will, observe furtively, as the Oxford English Dictionary says. It's not for purposes of domestic surveillance and certainly not for infiltrating and spying on a political campaign of an opponent.
But don't you think, Harry, what they're doing here is trying to get ahead of a story that James Comey knows that's coming? It may not be putting them in a very good light.
I think you're precisely correct. Jay, there are signs that the whole Russia collusion hoax has collapsed with a thundering sound resembling the Big Bang as more and more corroboration services indicating that President Trump's campaign was the subject of possibly unauthorized electronic surveillance, including testimony that spying did
in
fact occur.
But they're going to say they had a FISA warrant. That's what they're going to say. They're going to say they had a FISA warrant.
But if the FISA warrant was obtained fraudulently, then in essence, that is unauthorized spying, unauthorized electronic surveillance. And if spying as a word is to have any real meaning, we must note that what happened in 2016 was indeed spying. I think the only issue before us now is whether or not there was a sufficient legal predicate.
All right, so Fan, on your end, you know, you got Nancy Pelosi out there, Chuck Schumer, they're all blaming the Attorney General.
Yeah, Speaker Pelosi said that he went off the rails. Chuck Schumer called for an immediate retraction. And Jay, when I heard those statements, the first thing that came to my mind was maybe they're afraid of this additional question that has now arisen to be answered. Maybe this was more common practice within our intelligence operation than any of us would dare to imagine. Jay, I hope that's not the case. But look, if you have a fear that the upper echelons of the FBI were maybe engaging in this kind of quick surveillance without doing all of the due process checks that were necessary, and this was common practice, maybe that would lead Director Comey to just sort of shrug it off and say this is common practice. Maybe it would lead Democrat leadership inside the Congress to try to get ahead of that story, so to speak. We don't know the answer to that, Jay, but one thing I do know, we should never again have an FBI director that does not see secret surveillance as spying, because that's what it is, and if it's not predicated, you've got a big problem.
Jordan, what do you think the political... I think they're out there to try to... I'm going to play what Nancy Pelosi said in a minute, but they're out there trying to get ahead of... They're trying... Brennan, Comey, the ones that authorized all this, are trying to get ahead of something.
Well, I think they're doing it for personal, individual reasons, or maybe as a smaller group. So the kind of the upper echelons of the former U.S. government officials who, again, they would serve both parties. I don't think that they were so much, it's not so much that they were partisan, is that Donald Trump was a disruptor to the system. And so if he was the everyday candidate that a Jim Comey type or a Clapper type has maybe served as the deputy and number two, number three, and they love to go back and say, well, maybe they started their career as a Republican, but these are longtime government service. If you don't have a Donald Trump disruptor type, who it appears at every step of the way, they were trying to do what they could to prevent him from taking office, then can we take him out of office? Can we get a special counsel appointed, like Jim Comey said? I know I'll get the special counsel appointed. Yeah. So spend another year and
be
a half.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, but you spend another year and a half sullying the present. And that is what happened. I mean, you had a year and a half of speculation of members. And there are still members of Congress today, even though we know that the report is going to say there's no collusion.
Right.
Okay, so we know that.
No, they're already still saying. They know the report's coming next week that's going to say no collusion, and they're going to still say there's evidence of collusion in the forefront.
Yeah.
So Bob Mueller did a 2-year investigation, found none, and they're going to say there is one. So this it could play that's semantic games here, but here's the reality. Yeah. This idea that this isn't spying is absurd. I mean, this is it defies definition. But this is a defense. Listen, they're doing a defense because they think that there's vulnerability. Which there is. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Kat in New Hampshire online. Two, Kat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment, and I'd like to hear some response about the comment I'm about to make. I would like to know, in America right now, I hear a lot of talk about our rights as American citizens that are protected by the Constitution. But I really have to question myself personally, especially because of what I've been through and because of what I've heard other people speaking about and their encounters with their rights.
Well, let's be specific here. That this, we know Carter Page was apparently the basis upon this FISA warrant.
Well, we know that there was now. I mean, yes. Jim Comey basically confirmed, what he also confirmed yesterday, which we have not see this report, but Jim Comey just confirmed that they were doing it. So, I mean, it's not a question about were they now listening. I mean, do you recall, these are supposed to be conspiracy theories, and they're still calling it that when the president speaks to it. Just yesterday, he's spitting in conspiracy theories. But Jim Comey just told everybody that they did go to FISA and that they did get warrants to surveil the Trump campaign. He did not dispute any of that.
Right.
So he didn't say it was one individual associated with the campaign, like a Carter Page type. He made a much broader statement, which was, it's all based off of court orders, which is a secret court that we can't get access to. So I think we are going to have to look at it as a country, like the caller was saying. Like, everybody's going to have to look at this and say, okay, in 2019, when we have all these devices, we have all this technology, should FISA change because of what is accessible already? And now they're turning Americans, as we saw, into foreign agents. And so where is the line there between, like, if you have if you're pro-Israel, right? So you're supporter, you say you support Israel. I tweeted out a tweet yesterday where the image that said support Israel. Does that make me a foreign agent now? Or they could say, well, he's really not a U.S. citizen anymore because he supports a foreign country.
So let me play.
And that is what is Carter Page of these types. That is how low level they were. They were getting. They got a speaking fee to go to some organization in Russia, some nonprofit in Russia, and suddenly they've given up their rights as American.
Yeah. So let's play what Nancy Pelosi had to say about this. This is an attack on. Let me tell you what this is. This is a pre-release of the Mueller report attack on the Attorney General. That's what this is. They're trying to discredit a guy who you can't discredit based on his reputation, knowledge, and service to the country. But this is what they're trying to do because they know that the Mueller report's going to be out. Look, someone asked me the other day, is it like waiting for a jury verdict? No, I know the verdict. No collusion, no obstruction. So you're going to find out how it got there. That's what the report's going to say. So how it gets there. All right. But we know at the end, no collusion, no obstruction. And collusion was the basis upon which this whole thing started. Let's go ahead and listen to what Nancy Pelosi said.
Let me just say how very, very dismaying and disappointing that the chief law enforcement officer of our country is going off the rails yesterday and today. He is the Attorney General of the United States of America, not the Attorney General of Donald Trump.
Okay. He's going off the rails? By saying, I want to play for you what he said that causing this is going off the rails. Do we just have the bite where he says the spying part without the whole discussion? Yeah, let's go ahead and play just that.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I don't. I guess you could. I think there's spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me.
But the question is whether it was predicated, adequately predicated. And I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation.
So they don't even want him to explore whether the predicate was there for this to happen. Harry, they don't want him to explore the predicate. Why would it not be fair to say, you know, there was no question they were spying, which everybody knows now, and let's see if there was a legal justification for it. They don't want that inquiry to even go forward, Harry.
I think you're right. House Speaker Pelosi, a charter member of the Trump resistance movement, remains oblivious to the fact that there was a possible Fourth Amendment violation going on here. That's number one. And then number two, many of the members of the Trump resistance movement realized that the so-called Russia collusion story is collapsing on their own head.
Oh, there's no question that this, I think this is all preemptive. We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Lines are jammed right now. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, that's ACLJ.org, a matching challenge right now. Whatever you donate, it's doubled to ACLJ.org. You'll see it right on our homepage for the matching challenge. Go there, support the work of the ACLJ. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So, James Comey, let me play for you exactly what James Comey said about the surveillance of U.S. citizens in reaction to President Attorney General Barr saying that this was, in fact, no question, he said it was spying. And he said, well, we got to find out if the predicate was there or not. And they don't even want to look to see if the predicate was there or not. I mean, that's the scary part of this, in my view. I mean, before I even play that comment, I mean, Andy, think about that for a moment. All he said was there was spying because someone was surveilling. And that's the legal definition. He's exactly correct. I want to determine, is what he's saying, if there was a predicate for that. They don't want to. They don't want him looking. And he's the Attorney General of the United States, and by the way, he has the right to look. They don't want him looking at whether the predicate was there to do that.
Heaven forbid that he should find the predicate was not there, and I suspect he will find that the predicate was not there. Neither the legal nor the factual predicate was present to justify the issuance of the FISA warrants by the FISA court. And that is what I think the Attorney General is going to ultimately find out. So Pelosi starts screaming her head off that the AG's off the rails. Schumer goes to the floor of the Senate and starts condemning the Attorney General. Comey saying, wow, this is all just terrible. We have an expression in Georgia, hit dog barks. And that's exactly what's happening here. They're being hit and they are barking their heads off.
So let's do this. Let's play. We'll take a phone call in a moment. Let's play James Clapper. Here's what he said.
Do you agree with me that every American should be concerned?
Okay, the bite is number 56. Do we have it?
It's not loaded, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, we'll get back to that. Than, Andy just laid out who is speaking to whom and what they're doing, and I know what this is. This is a predicate before the Monday-Tuesday. That's what they're trying to do here. And you had Schumer going to the floor and Pelosi saying he's off the rails, and they're talking about Bill Barr. This is you know, ironic indeed. But what is the sense up there?
Well, they're just trying to distract before the news comes out. They're trying to draft that headline before it comes out so that the publications and the cable is all pre-written and they can just run it. Jay, the bottom line here is everyone knows that there was spying. So how in the world could the Attorney General have possibly answered any other way? It would have not been truthful. It would have not been accurate. And he would be the one in trouble. But I really do think, Jay, I mean, I think the primary thing here is a distraction to get ahead of the story. But I also do think that leadership in Congress is concerned about what is going to be in the Inspector General report and in the congressional reports. Jay, I think there was probably more familiarity with some of these practices than any of them would like to admit. But bottom line, Jay, they're trying to write the headline before the actual substance comes out and can be written
yes.
for them.
I mean, this is it's so transparent what they're doing here. It is so transparent. Let's take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Kelly calling from New Mexico on line 3. Kelly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, good morning.
Yes.
I just have a really quick comment / question.
Yep.
Isn't spying, even though it's not even a generalized definition, something that's done to or by a perceived enemy?
Yes. There's the answer. That's exactly correct, no matter what definition it is. And all the Attorney General said was, I want to make sure there was a predicate for it. He said, I have no doubt that it was spying on the campaign.
Well, that's the only way you would get a FISA warrant. You have to prove that it's basically an enemy of the... I mean, that is what FISA... We know, even the secret of the process is, that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the reason why they even have to do that step is because we take it seriously surveilling Americans or surveilling yep. anybody. Remember the unmasking? You're supposed to even cover all that up. Because
the unmasking, by the way, the whole rules on that changed 8 days before President Trump came into office.
That even when we issue a warrant that under FISA, we cover up everyone else associated with it who is an American. Because we're supposed to be protecting their rights.
Right.
So anyone else who comes into contact with a person who's not foreign or isn't unmasked, it's just name one, name two, individual one, individual two. It's not specific. You have to go through all of these steps as a U.S. government to get that information. You can, but you have to put in the unmasking request, which we know, even though the Samantha Power type, there were hundreds of them at the very end. And that's what got the attention of these reporters. And obviously people who went to those reporters is they said, wow, this is bizarre. I'm at the NSA and I'm at these places. And
right.
all of a sudden, the UN ambassador, the last 100 days, the Obama administration has put in, you know, hundreds of requests for unmasking.
Joseph on Facebook said, would they have needed any probable cause to surveil?
Of course.
Under FISA.
Of course. You don't just go in there and say, Judge, I want a warrant. Give me a warrant. you've got to show probable cause. And I think in the foreign intelligence surveillance, you've got to show both exonerative evidence and inculpatory evidence. In other words, all the evidence. And then you've got to get a warrant, and it's got to be for foreign intelligence surveillance, not on a political campaign.
I'll also remind people that usually we refer to FISA as a rubber stamp, but we know in this situation they got denied a couple of times. I mean, so they had to keep going back and coming up with reasons. Okay, no, that's not enough. And FISA, it's 99.5. This is the 0.5. This was one of the 0.5s where they said, no, the judge was telling them, no, this is not. So at some point, they just kept doubling, tripling down. The dossier, that's what we go back to. If you presented that dossier and cut out portions of it, you'd get the probable cause. You can make the probable cause case. You don't have to convict someone. It's just probable cause to start it. That's easy if you take out portions of it. So I think
But they don't even want it looked at to determine what the predicate is.
I think they went pre-dossier. They couldn't get it. Then they had to come up with another reason. Then they said, okay, fine, we'll use this dossier. Because now we know that they were still worried. They were all worried about what Christopher Steele would end up looking like.
You mean Christopher Steele, who they hired, fired, and then tried to rehire?
Yeah. But they know today, they just said it again, that they were still trying to figure out if they could trust him after they used his info to get this.
They still weren't sure it was correct.
Yeah.
All right, let's take it to a judge
and obviously said, Andy said, they probably said, well, we have this, we have this. And at that point, that's enough for probable cause.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I think, you know, Bill Barr looking at it has got them very nervous.
Yes,
let's take another call.
Let's go to Nan in California on line one. Nan, welcome to Jason.
Hi, Nan.
You're live. Hey, thanks. You hit it on the head. They're so transparent. Comey is so transparent, disingenuous. Pelosi, media, they know if they put it out there, they're hoping that people will just hear it once and believe it. And, you know, I want to think that we, the public, know better. I mean, we see through it all, but I get concerned that the GOP or whomever don't have the huevos to stand up to them.
You got the Attorney General of the United States saying, I'm going to find out what happened here. And listen to what James Comey volunteered at a panel he was addressing on security.
I really don't know what he's talking about. When he talks about spying on the campaign, it's concerning.
I really don't know what he's talking about when he says, I'm talking about spying on a campaign. Baloney. You know exactly what he's talking about. Now play the next sentence.
Because the FBI and the Department of Justice conduct court-ordered electronic surveillance.
All right, court-ordered electronic surveillance, which, Andy, you have to have probable cause for.
You've got to, and I think in a FISA context, you've got to also give the other side of the story so that the judge has the totality of the circumstances. But what's important is it's FISA, it's foreign intelligence surveying. It's not a desire to either prevent an administration from taking office by undermining their campaign or undermining a president-elect once he has been voted into office. And that's what they did here.
And then let's play the next sentence.
I have never thought of that as spying.
Okay, but Harry, every legal definition considers that spying.
Absolutely. So basically, James Comey is trying to have it both ways, but what he claims in terms of offering a distinction between electronic surveillance on the one hand and spying on the other, this is a distinction without a difference.
Play the last sentence. All right, and the reason I'm interested to know what it means by all this is that if the Attorney General has come to the belief that this should be called spying, wow, because they're about to find out what you did or did not have when you authorized FISA warrants against an American citizen. We're going to be back for another 30 minutes. We've got a lot more to talk about on all of this, but support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, we got our matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org. You'll see right on the homepage, you double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live, second half hour coming up, 1-800-684-3110. Talk.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We're Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I really don't know what he's talking about. When he talks about spying on the campaign, it's concerning because the FBI and the Department of Justice conduct court-ordered electronic surveillance. I have never thought of that as spying. And the reason I'm interested to know what he means by that is if the Attorney General has come to the belief that that should be called spying, wow.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Wow, said James Comey. They're all in defense mode right now. Let me tell you what they're doing. They're getting out ahead of this. So try to discredit the Attorney General who said what is legally correct, that is spying. Now, the question he said is, was there a predicate? And what's happening now on Capitol Hill is they don't even want to know if there was a predicate because you know what they're about to find out, or they're afraid they might find out, that there wasn't one. And this is a concern because guess whose signatures are on all these documents? Everybody that's coming out saying how bad this was. How this, what the Attorney General said was so inappropriate. So, Than, what I'm looking at when I'm looking at Washington right now is saying, cover the tracks before the Monday or Tuesday release of the report.
Yeah, trying to write the headline that they know will be written in a way that it looks disfavorably on them if they don't do otherwise. Jay, I think several of them were briefed on some of these activities and are concerned about this. But as it comes to James Comey, Jay, I mean, think about this. If we had an FBI director who did not view surveillance as spying, given that spying should be targets of enemies, it's terrifying to think that he had that power. And Jay, this wouldn't apply to Capitol Hill, but it would certainly apply to him. I think he's concerned about plenty of other activities he engaged in. If this isn't spying and he thinks he can surveil and it's not spying, Jay, who knows what else is going to turn up on him?
I'm going to do this really quick. Harry, is it spying?
Absolutely, it's spying. And the problem here is that Comey has huge footprints over all of the electronic surveillance that we're talking about. So, yes, it's spying. As I've said before, spying and electronic surveillance, that's a distinction without a difference.
Andy, is it spying?
Of course it is, no question.
Okay, so then, Jordan, the question is, politically, what are they trying to do here?
Well, I think there's two things. I think Comey, Clapper are trying to get out ahead of the story that they were surveilling the Trump campaign. Because that right there, and you see how you use the term surveillance. I mean, to me, that's interchangeable. Surveilling, spying on... And I think that's what Bill Barr was saying, whether or not it was predicated. It was not. He wasn't saying it was definitely not. But that's the first part of the story, is that they were spying on American campaign. I think we now heard it from the Attorney General, the former FBI director, the NSA, former NSA director, Nancy Pelosi. No one is disputing that anymore in the United States, that they were surveilling an American presidential campaign, and in the transition, once that campaign actually won, which is supposed to be even more protected.
Right.
Then, I mean, because at that point, it's president-elect.
Evidently not.
At that point, it's a vice president-elect. And, they're getting security briefings. You start getting security.
Oh, we have a presidential transition statute.
Well, yes. And remember, those top candidates.
It's .gov at that point.
Even before you get elected, they start getting you ready in case you get elected.
Right.
So you start getting special briefings. You get Secret Service protection up until Election Day, even if you don't win, because of we have to get you ready to govern.
All right, let's try to grab one. Too close. All right, we'll take a call when we come back from the break here. There were some interesting comments coming out on Facebook. I want to address something here, what I think is going on. Here's what I think is happening. I think, this is coming in from Linda on Facebook. We all know what happened. Why can't they just be honest about it instead of denying it? Because the political risk is too high, and the legal risk might well be too high. Because if, in fact, there was not a legal justification for the FISA warrants, or if the affidavits that were submitted did not justify it, or if the dossier, which is now becoming very apparent, there were serious questions on its veracity, and that yet that was the base, and as Jordan said, they were denied FISA warrants a couple of times, which is highly unusual. This tells you there's a serious issue. So when James Comey says, wow, and Clapper says this is unprecedented, and Nancy Pelosi is saying, I can't even believe that this is, that the Attorney General of the United States would call this spying, which is the legal definition, he's absolutely correct. This tells you that they are in a protective mode, trying to figure out how they're going to deal with this. And then on top of that, what they're trying to do is discredit everything that Bill Barr says. Why? Because the Mueller report's coming out Monday or Tuesday, and they know the verdict already. And the verdict is no obstruction, no collusion. So this isn't waiting for a jury verdict. We got the verdict. What we're going to find out is how the verdict was made.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We're going to go to the phones. We're going to try to clear some lines for you for the last segment coming up next, but let's go ahead right to the phones here.
Yeah, Lewis in Rhode Island on line four. Lewis, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Lewis.
First of all, let me say thank you for the work of your center. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thanks.
And I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
It's great listening to. Okay, my thing was, I think the FISA court was relegated to be used to, as nothing more than a tool. How do I say that? They ran into a locked door. They know they run into a whole bunch of political problems and legal problems if they surveil an American citizen. So to use the FISA court as a backdoor to get in there and get them and get the information that they felt that they needed. And they got around that by using the FISA court. And remember, when you get a FISA warrant, you do have to raise your right hand and swear to the facts because the judge has no knowledge of it. So someone had to stand there and actually say that this thing was right. And they had willful knowledge that it wasn't. That's the next thing. Another thing was they also introduced a human intel asset into the entire equation.
Mm-hmm.
They did have, it's been reported that they had a human being in there passing intel. Now, he obviously was an intelligence asset. You don't introduce an intelligence asset to surveil. You introduce an intelligence asset to gather intelligence and information. That's spying. No two ways about that.
It is spying. I want to play for you Senator Schatz's interchange with General Barr here. You need to understand exactly what took place. Very important. Take a listen.
Do you want to rephrase what you're doing? Because I think the word spying could cause everybody in the cable news ecosystem to freak out. And I think it's necessary for you to be precise with your language here. You normally are, and I want to give you a chance to be especially precise here.
I'm not sure of all the connotations of that word that you're referring to, but, you know, unauthorized surveillance. I want to make sure there was no unauthorized surveillance.
Okay, thank you.
Is that more appropriate in your mind?
I want to make sure there was no unauthorized surveillance. In other words, Andy, spying.
Yeah, and then he says, is that more appropriate in your mind? Will you feel better if I call it that? I mean, spying, unauthorized surveillance.
They do not want him making that determination.
No.
James Clapper doesn't want him to make it. James Comey doesn't want him to make it. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to make it. Chuck Schumer doesn't want him to make it. They do not want him. Samantha Powers doesn't want it being made. Nor does Valerie Jarrett. None of them want that being made.
I mean, Susan Rice yesterday decided, I'm not running. She was supposed to be the candidate to take on Susan Collins. And then all of a sudden announced she's not running. And she's already been she already was prevented from becoming the next level of cabinet, which would have been Secretary of State because of all the Benghazi and the lying about that. And so she stayed as NSA because something that was unconfirmed. But ultimately, that all happened in the last 24 hours, too. I mean, she makes the announcement. Joe Manchin endorses Susan Collins, which is fine that a Democrat from West Virginia endorses, but why? I mean, it was bizarre. It's kind of bizarre. Democrats don't know why it was done. And in fact, if Susan Collins was a top target for them to try and switch, I mean, with a small thing. I mean, this was they have to. If I saw from a lot of the Democrat Obama aides in this last 24 hours, you have to basically switch Maine to take back the Senate. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And they thought they were on path in 2020. It's a much better electoral map for them in 2020.
Yeah, it's absolutely essential if they're going to flip control. And it's a desperate move. But, Jordan, I would say this. Why are they so desperate? I really think people need to key in here. If there is a predicate, this distinction between these two terms, Jay and Jordan, spying and surveillance, it doesn't matter that much. All of these people assume that no predicate will be found. That's why they're desperate to create this distinction.
All right, let's go ahead right back to the phones. 800-684-3110.
Bill's calling from Oklahoma on line 5. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I just wanted y'all's thoughts on how far this could even go with Rosenstein, who was a signer on the FISAs, as well as Dana Buente, who's lead counsel for the FBI, still in place.
It's going to depend on what information at the particular time they had. You know, they could have been a sign on as the final sign off, where they were given a series of information that they relied on the affidavits of the agents. The question to me really here is, if the Christopher Steele dossier was the basis upon which this engaged in, that's the FISA warrants ultimately were received. Remember, as Jordan said, they were turned down a couple of times. So then you have to look at the whole chain of custody, the whole approach. So I don't want to focus on an individual. I want to focus on where the problem started, Andy.
Yeah, I think we have to look at everybody who touched any document in support of the FISA warrant and not just say Rosenstein did it or Buente did it or Sally Yates, who is a good candidate, in my opinion, to look at. But you have to look at the process by which these things are vetted in the Justice Department and then proffered to a FISA judge. And everybody who touched it needs to be looked at.
So Than, from your perspective.
Rosenstein's going. Right. He's leaving.
Well, he's leaving. But anyway,
so he's not going to be there to judge this.
Yeah. So let me ask Than this. So putting this in a perspective here of what's going on, what I think this is an attempt to discredit the Attorney General, because you got the report coming out. The Russian investigation's concluded. There was no collusion, which I want to remind everybody. Issue one in this piece, in this inquiry, from the outset, well, what was the basis upon which this inquiry started? Was there some kind of cooperation or conspiracy with the Department of Justice, that Department of Justice was looking at, between the Trump campaign and Russian agents or Russian government officials? That was the basis. Collusion, as it's been commonly called. That is gone. The Attorney General also found, and in the letter he's already issued, no obstruction, and pointed out that Bob Mueller said in his report, which we're going to see soon enough, that there was difficult questions of law and fact. So, if the basis upon which this was entered was the collusion, that was the number one, and there is no collusion. Now the Attorney General says, I want to find out how this started, because it seems pretty apparent that pretty quickly they knew there was no collusion here. Than?
Yeah, that narrative is gone, Jay. So all they're left with is the effort to discredit the Attorney General and possibly protect others who are involved. I mean, look, I think the facts are in. The process was abused. The FISA court was used to target American citizens. But the question in my mind, Jay, and the one that I hope that Congress is really focused on, are how many people that were involved in abusing that process are still around? I mean, I think Jordan brought up some very good questions about why certain candidates are no longer running for office. I think that's actually pretty suspicious. I think that'd be a good place to look. But look, even more concerned about those people who are no longer running for office, I want to know who still has this authority inside some of these agencies. If they knew this information was bad and they used it anyway, I hope that's one of the focuses here.
Yeah, I think ultimately everything that we know is going to come out by next week, they're trying to get ahead of. So already surveilling the campaign we're supposed to take for as normal.
But that's just normative.
Yeah, it's a normal practice, and that's not bizarre. I mean, I think that is should send the shivers down the spine already, is that based off a non-paid random volunteer, they surveilled an entire presidential campaign and kept surveilling them? I mean, is that the case they're trying to make? So that's their justification? That based on, let's say Carter Page, okay? Let's say he's got a checkered past. Let's even make it worse than it is on Carter Page.
Yeah, there's no evidence that he has a checkered past, right.
Unpaid.
Right.
he even said like his association was pretty minor.
Yeah, campaign advisor in the general sense.
I mean, in the sense of a steering, not even, of a volunteer sense. So he was not a paid staff member, and he was the predicate to spy. So an intern in Carter Page, a 22-year-old, and I mean, if you've been involved in any of these, and I have, there's a massive structure, and with the Donald Trump's world, there already was one in place. These people, to get close to him, they didn't. I mean, so Carter Page didn't get close to him. I don't know if they were even together ever. I think the one picture they show of Carter Page is a giant room with Jeff Sessions in it.
Yeah.
And 30 other people. And George Papadopoulos. And that was a predicate to spy on an entire presidential campaign and continue it. So put it out of that perspective. Let's say that they were a predicate enough. That was the unmasking. That was the reason why. That is, to me, really disturbing, because I've worked on those presidential campaigns, and you could find every time somebody worth, I mean, if you take every volunteer for a presidential campaign, is this happening to everyone? But it doesn't, they're not making that case. Notice they're not saying, well, we also do this to the other side. It's specific to the disruptor who's coming to Washington.
They don't even
who
want
ran
it.
On draining their swamp.
They don't even want it reviewed. Let's take Tim's call, right? Well, let's hold it. No, I think we do it. Let's do it. Very right. Direct question.
Tim in Colorado on line
Tim,
one.
Tim, you're on the air.
Hello. For those of us who don't have legal background, please briefly explain what predicate means and how you're using it. And then secondly, if there's illegalities found in what elected officials did, are there any possibility or any culpability that could be
Both of them are good questions.
Court?
What happens to them to do it? So let's define a predicate first. Harry?
Well, essentially what we mean by a predicate was there evidence sufficient to claim that there is probable cause to issue, for instance, a FISA warrant.
Right.
So was there a legally sufficient basis for this warrant? Otherwise, it's a frontal assault on the Fourth Amendment.
All right. So the next question is, if there was a violation, Andy, in 40 seconds here, what happens?
Well, there's civil liability on the part of those who proffered the information, and there's criminal liability because you lied to criminal contempt because you lied to a FISA judge, and possibly criminal violations under the statute. So there is exposure.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Come back to the last segment and talk about any issue, but especially we're getting a lot of calls on this one. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge campaign.
Yeah, matching challenge at ACLJ.org. You double the impact of your donation support for the work of the ACLJ. Right now, if you donate online, we have donors ready to match that who have already pledged to match that. So your donation, you double the impact. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Yeah, so to quote James Comey, wow. That's his reaction to all of this. Let's go right back to our phones, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Jay in Texas Online 2. Jay, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Jay.
How you doing, Jay? Good. Odd with the names. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Not a lot of us out there.
Yeah. Look, I got something simple. I'm a retired engineer, and I see something really odd.
Yep.
If I recall right, the FISA was kicked off against Carter Page.
Right.
And in the end, there was no indictments against him. So I look at Carter Page as like the door opening so that they can go clown around and do whatever they did.
Well, you're right. There was no indictments brought against Carter Page. And there was also no indictments on the issue of collusion. So, I mean, you know, the special counsel's investigation we know is complete. And there's been not one count against any individual on the issue of collusion.
No, there has not. I don't know what the problem is. What is the fear that is in the minds of people like Comey, Pelosi, and Schumer? What is the apprehension or the fear that they have about the Attorney General of the United States wanting to know if there was an adequate evidentiary basis for the issuance of a FISA warrant? Why are you afraid of finding out whether that exists or not?
Because they are trying to do everything they can right now to go after the Attorney General because the Mueller probe is over. They know what the end result of that probe is, and they're trying to make the Attorney General the issue.
Yeah, I mean, the big end result is that no one past Paul Manafort's unrelated connections ultimately
nothing
ended up
to do with
being
the campaign and not
all
Russian,
predating right? the campaign.
Right.
Predating the campaign by like a decade plus.
Yeah.
And personal finances and... No, that was it. I mean, that was it.
Yeah, well, and all of that, there was no allegation.
Nothing related to the campaign.
There was nothing related to the predicate upon which this investigation began, Harry, which is this, you know, everybody's calling it collusion, but was basically a conspiracy charge with the Russian government or Russian agents. Nothing. Zero.
I think that's correct. And I think members of the Trump resistance campaign are a bit confused. Before, they were playing offense. They could pile up unsubstantiated charge after unsubstantiated charge. Now we know it is crystal clear that the whole Russia collusion narrative has collapsed, perhaps in a moment that resembles the Big Bang. But now that that narrative has collapsed, they have difficulty playing defense, particularly because Attorney General Barr is prepared to hold some members of an internal effort to either limit President Trump's ability to win the election or to perhaps hamper the efficacy of his administration if he were elected. So they are Attorney General Barr is prepared to hold some of those individuals accountable. Why is that? Because there was, in all likelihood, zero legal predicates for any of this electronic surveillance. And by any other name, that is simply spying.
Here's the other thing. It's very important. I'm going to play Attorney General Barr comment on this. Who is he concerned with? Is it the line agent or is it the leadership? Take a listen.
I also want to make clear, this is not launching an investigation of the FBI. To the extent there were any issues at the FBI, I do not view it as a problem that's endemic to the FBI. I think there was probably a failure among a group of leaders there at the upper echelon.
And so then what the body politic that you're dealing with across the street from our office right now is in what mode?
Full-on panic, honestly, Jay. Yeah. I mean, look, it goes right back to what the Attorney General just said. This is the seventh floor at the FBI, led by James Comey. And I got to be honest with you, I actually think there's good cause for fear from James Comey. You've asked a few times, what are congressional leaders so afraid of? I think that's an appropriate question. But remember, it was James Comey who leaked a memo for the purpose of getting a special counsel appointed. And now the special counsel's returned a verdict that nothing was there. Jay, James Comey ought to be afraid of having intentionally leaked that memo for what was essentially a political purpose. I think that fear is well-founded, Jay.
Leaked a memo of a conversation he had with the president of the United States.
Right.
While he was president. I mean, think about this for a moment. He leaked a memo of a conversation he had with the president of the United States to get a special counsel appointed, which happened, based on a theory that there was some kind of collusion or conspiracy, which there is not. That's what this is about. So sure, they don't want, they definitely, they do not want it looked at. No question. Let's take another call.
Yeah, Dan in Washington, D.C. on line one. Dan, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, how y'all doing? Good. I just wanted to say, of course, they're afraid. They're afraid because the ones, the Democrats or people in the Democratic Party who haven't been exposed yet, they don't want an honest attorney general digging deeper and exposing the rest of the corrupt people that haven't already been exposed.
Andy, you're shaking your head.
The attorney general said this, and I'm quoting what he said just Tuesday. I'm trying to get my arms around all aspects of the counterintelligence investigation that was conducted in the summer of 2016. My rhetorical question is, what is wrong with that?
Well, nothing, except if you're James Comey, James Clapper, Brennan.
Well, they don't know what to do with Bill Barr either because he's from their world. So he's not like an outside, he's not Jeff Sessions. A senator politician who was an outlier politician too. And we said, you know, from the beginning that part of the job that these attorney generals have, and I think it's fallen to Bill Barr because I don't think it happened from the recusal on of Jeff Sessions. You could never do what he needed to do, which is change the image. I think he cares about the institutions. That's why he was careful to say, I'm not investigating the whole FBI. I'm investigating the leadership, the political appointees, the handful, the small group of people that are chosen by the elected officials and their deputies. To him, but he is from their world, which is, I think, extra scary too. So he's a known entity to everyone. And I don't think the people necessarily know that, but you know, if he was the attorney general once before when we didn't pay as much attention. It wasn't cable news like there is today. So he's been in the world of Clapper, Comey's, you know, when they were, Comey was just starting out. When he was already attorney general once.
Right.
And this is someone cut from their own cloth of the, he's been in the world of power in Washington, D.C. He's not an outsider. And he's using the terminology that I think is double scary. That is scary to a James Clapper type.
That I agree with Jordan totally because he is an insider in the sense that he's been there and knows it. He knows where to find bodies.
Well, we're going to find out real soon. And, you could say, boy, this is like a case study in how Washington reacts. Harry, really quick, like 20 seconds here. They are reacting this way because they know what's coming?
Absolutely. So if you look at the cast of characters, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andrew McCabe, James Comey, those individuals are already implicated. And it's probably a far deeper group of FBI and DOJ leaders that are worried about being held accountable, and it's about time.
We're going to play for our Facebook and Periscope audience the tune Crossroads, because I think we're at one. Probably hit that crossroad about Monday, probably around 5 o'clock or so, maybe later, maybe Tuesday. We're going to find out. That'll do it for the weekend. Talk to you Monday.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.